time for the ladies to be heard. Welcome to Muscle Girls, Inc., presented by RxMuscle.com. You are about to hear two of the smartest and sexiest IFBB pros tell it like it is. Here are your hosts, Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin.
Welcome to the 24th episode of Muscle Girls, Inc. My name is Colette Nelson, IFBB professional bodybuilder, and I'm joined by my super sexy Olympia-qualified co-host, IFBB pro figure competitor, Chrissy Chin. What's going on there, baby?
Hey, you. How you doing?
Chrissy, another uneventful but eventful. Didn't have to travel. Happy about that. Got to actually spend time with Dave weekend here, so it was like his first weekend off, and no weekend is really ever off, because we actually had him like, Dave, we have the whole weekend to ourselves. He's like, well, not really. I said, well, what do you mean? He's like, we have a seminar at Nutrisport in the city on Saturday. I'm like, my God, do you ever stop? You know, do you ever stop? So we ended up doing this Nutrisport, which is on 15th Street between 6th and 7th, this seminar. But Chrissy, there was no air conditioning, and the city, you know the city. What's the
sweltering during the summer?
The city, Jeff. Talk to me about how hot it was in there. I'm still sweating from it.
See, you basically stole my line. That's exactly what I was going to say. It was pretty freaking hot in there, man.
I mean, it's just like you couldn't cool down. You tried to go out. You went outside. You're like, oh, let me go outside. It was bad, you know. So you were just.
I actually think it was cooler outside.
I do
right?
have to agree.
It was you know, because there's like so many people in there, and then you know Dave gives off, I think, what, like 200 degrees
at least.
Yeah. So,
so we were over there, and then we had. Chris, did you see that THS female bodybuilders show that was on E True Hollywood Stories this past week?
No, I did not see that.
All right. Dave and I did this short little cameo in there. I mean, literally, I was probably on there for like 30 seconds, okay? And it was pretty interesting. I mean, of course, the one and only Lauren Powers did her thing on there.
We love Lauren.
And you know, you got to love that Lauren has just... You know, she's so free with who she is and what she does. And you know what? Mm-hmm. She's entertaining. I mean, she definitely has a very entertaining side to her, because she just doesn't hold back. And so she did one of her fans from New Zealand travels in. Oh, Chrissy, and listeners, you do got to see it. It's always another, you know, inside into the crazy lives of us as female bodybuilders. But you know, they had Rachel McLeish on there. They had you know, they did a whole thing on Shelley Beattie, and you know, they just showed different perspectives, and you know, it was something interesting to check out. So you know, if you get a spare moment, I was trying to YouTube it. I'm sure it'll be on YouTube any moment now. But you know, they air these things in the most bizarre times. Yeah, I saw you at like 1:30 in the morning. You know.
You have to let me know. What channel was that? E-Channel?
Yeah, the E-Channel. E True Hollywood Stories. So they did yet another documentary.
I'll have to catch it. And I definitely have to catch up with Lauren. So
I know.
Maybe she has a copy of it or something.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Lauren. You know, actually, she did email me today, so I will get a copy. So, Chrissy, I'll have to burn you a copy. Shoot it at you.
Definitely.
All right. Then I wanted to say one more thing before we, you know. Okay, you know, everybody knows I've actually got really supportive emails from, like, Debbie Leshesky, Robin Parker, about that I'm doing this shoulder surgery. I'm finally breaking down after 5 years. I'm doing this thing September 8th. And I wanted to see, Chrissy, do you know anything about PRP therapy, platelet-rich plasma therapy. Have you ever heard of this?
No. Is that newer treatment?
It is kind of newer. And I'm really interested if people listening would like email me their thoughts on it, because it's an alternative approach to healing tendons and ligaments. And I just actually saw this guy at the hospital special surgery today, Dr. Halperin, and he does this type of therapy. And what you would do is you spin down your blood to get the platelets and the plasma that's rich in all these growth factors. And then they actually, through an ultrasound, inject it into the joint, and they would actually inject it into my biceps tendon. And what I'm thinking, Chrissy, I mean, I'm not sure exactly how to do this. I mean, surgery is definitely scheduled, and I was thinking of debriding the joint and cleaning it up and whatever. They were doing this biceps tendinosis, and I haven't spoken with a doctor yet, but applying that to maybe not doing the tendinosis yet and using this type of, doing this therapy first, I mean, it could lead to another surgery, but it might not be as long of a recovery if I do it this way. I don't know yet. I'll keep you posted, but it's definitely really interesting. And like I say, I always want to like inform people about different stuff that's out there. It's not approved by insurance. It's $2,000, so it's definitely expensive. But if it, I mean, all these major league athletes are using this, and it's helped with knees, shoulders, elbows, and it really is helping your own body heal. It's not a cortisone shot. It's totally a healing property.
So through ultrasound, you're saying?
Yeah.
That's called PRP. I have to look into it. But let me ask, is it one treatment? Like, you go for one treatment, or is it multiple treatments?
It's one treatment. You would get one treatment. You know what he
really?
Told? He wants me, which really hurt. I mean, Chrissy, they say, once I give you this injection, you have to treat it like surgery. Like, he's like, I don't want you lifting any weights for 8 weeks. I'm like, eight weeks? I said, oh my gosh. I said, you'd almost have to give me surgery to keep me out of the gym for 8 weeks. That's the only problem. I mean, to tell me that, like, you're going to give me a shot and that to stay out of the gym, even though my shoulder's feeling better, is going to be difficult. So that's why I was like, you know what? I definitely need something done in my left shoulder. And it's like, maybe we don't go the full distance and we try and see how much this therapy can help fix what's going on in there. I don't know, but it's definitely interesting. I think people that are having issues should look into it. And if you're willing to take you have money and, you know, $2,000 is not cheap, but if it does something good and positive for the body, you know what, bodybuilders will spend money on anything, you know? So if you need it bad enough, so it's an interesting therapy.
I'm definitely going to look into it. Yeah, I've never heard of that. Well, I have been out of practice for over a year, so.
I know, right? When you get out of these things, I know, and I'm bringing it right back to you, Chrissy. I'm on top of it.
I know, I'm getting that itch again.
I know. All right, so what did you do this weekend? Talk to me. I heard you do some crazy stuff this weekend.
This weekend, we were actually in San Diego for the 619 Bash, which is put on by Pete Ciccone and his fiancée, Marisa de Guzman. They do a wonderful job. Every year they've had, this is the third year they've had it. And there were a bunch of IFBB pros in attendance, amateurs. Everyone was there. Jay Cutler was there. Gina Aliotti was there, and she looks fabulous for Olympia, by the way. Marisa was there. Alicia Harris, Troy Al, Sylvia Samuel, like a whole bunch of pros and amateurs, everyone to support, and a bunch of companies. And one of our guests on today's show actually was there, Tandy Johnson. So I got to spend some time with her, and also Marcia Prince, who we had on our show previously. So I had a wonderful time with them this weekend. But it was just a great, great weekend where there were a lot of companies there and giving out a lot of free products. They had a bikini contest where they gave away $2,000 in cash and prizes, sponsored by Physique Brazil. They had a Pump Your Guns contest by Gaspari Nutrition, where they actually measured gentlemen's biceps before and after pumping a certain amount of weight.
That's great.
So believe it or not, the winner, his biceps grew 3 inches.
See, there's something about those pump workouts.
Before they measured them before, and his biceps were 3 inches bigger after he did some curls.
That's pretty amazing.
Jeff, I'm going to measure yours before you do those 90-pound dumbbell curls.
Well, no. You know, I could probably make it grow 3 inches from 13 to about, 17. So,
14. So funny.
That's
so
actually 4 inches. So
he's
not
so bad. Now, Chrissy, why 619? I mean, why not 669? Why not 699? Why 619?
I think 619 is the area code.
Oh, okay. All right, fine. You know what I mean? All right, that's pretty dumb on my part, but
the 305 is the MIA, Miami.
Yeah, I get it. Yes.
Soon we're going to have the 516 over here in Long Island.
Yeah, the 516. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, Chrissy, we got a great show today. We have the one and only Sister Steele, a.k.a. Dominique Danger. And she's, I think she's a really interesting talent. You know, she's a Middle Eastern woman and who comes from actually a very conservative background, who does things that aren't so conservative. And I think she's got a really interesting take on the whole session world that we so call it in the world of female bodybuilding, and actually the world of fitness and figure, too. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, Chrissy, after reading some of your emails, you know what I mean? It doesn't, this is, she's an interesting guest. I think she'll entertain for certain.
And like I previously mentioned, I'm excited that we also have IFBB Fitness Pro Tandy Johnson on our show, and she is such an amazing person. And if any of you have seen her on the fitness stage, you know she's just awesome and a thrill to watch on that stage.
I know. Way to go, Chrissy, on that one. Oh, I was so excited. You know, every week we look for guests, and I mean, Tanji is a definite marketable character, and we pulled that one off, so I think she's going to be great. And Chrissy, I want to thank JoJo's Energy for creating such a fantastic studio for us and supporting us over here at RX Muscle. So with that said, Chrissy, let's run into one of our favorite segments.
Our Did You Knows.
No, and these are good.
Okay, so, I thought of you because I know you've been going back and forth to and from Long Island, the city. So This one actually involves pole dancing on the subway. So by a woman by the name of Jocelyn Salzana, the age 19, Jeff might want to take subways now.
I know.
She was actually doing a pole dance in the subway naked. So supposedly one woman started screaming, this elderly man got the shakes, but what it was is that this photographer by the name of Zach Hyman, who's 22, actually has models that actually disrobe, and for 30 seconds he tries to get off like 10 quick shots of them, you know, throughout the city he's been doing this. So he says, photogging females in public naked is a lot easier than males, because when women are naked, people tend to smile, he said. But he goes, but when, you know, he has naked gentlemen, he goes, when people see a penis, they freak out. So believe it or not, he actually had a show opening at the Charon Maiden Gallery in the West Village.
Wow.
Where he featured some of his favorite nude Yorker shots.
I love that, Jeff.
It's a good publicity.
It's a good reason to take the subway.
which line was she on so I can avoid it?
Yeah, right.
The good old L train.
I'll be sure to not take the L train tomorrow.
We hate the L train, actually. All right, now, Chrissy, what about this one? Okay, this is in Massachusetts. The police actually had to, they were looking for a man. They're calling him the foot fanatic, Chrissy, the foot fanatic. The man is accused of walking up to random women and just getting down on his hands and knees and starting to lick their feet. I mean, taking foot fanatic to the limit here. He's a middle-aged guy, and he basically, he was, imagine this, you're at a Whole Foods market, you're minding your own business, you're looking at some organic peanut butter, okay? And some guy kneels down and starts licking your feet. What do you do, Chrissy? What do you do? Scream, whatever. So he told the women he liked high heel shoes and asked if he could take a picture of her shoes, and then he knelt down and started kissing and licking her feet. Now, you know, so actually the police are looking for him. It's considered an assault. Unbelievable.
So, Jeff, don't go be licking women's feet, okay?
Nah.
Don't do it. Don't do it after you hear this next one, Jeff.
Oh, I know. Uh-oh. So, you know, we always like to educate our listeners, Colette. So
it's all about education. It's all about education, Chrissy.
You know, so speaking of feet, we're going to actually, educate our listeners a little bit about flip-flops. So at the University of Miami Emergency Mobile Flip-Flop Lab, they actually tested flip-flops, and they found that on one pair of flip-flops, there was more than 18,000 bacteria. Now, I mean bacteria from fecal matter, skin, respiratory germs, and they even found on one pair of six-year-old flip-flops that they actually had germs that can actually cause yeast infection and diaper rash.
Okay, that's already pretty gross. And I like the fact they have a Miami Emergency Mobile Flip-Flop Lab. I love it, Chrissy. I love it. All right, what about the New York Daily News, okay? And New York is a pretty disgusting place, as much as I love it, but they tested two pair of flip-flops, all right? The one that went through bars in New York in the West Village, and then they plodded through Brooklyn's Prospect Park, okay? And if anybody knows New York, they'll be able to figure out how far away it is. Then they rode the FACG2, and these are all for subways lines. Basically, New York is like a grid, okay, up in north and south. And then three subway trains to Brooklyn. And then they took it to Coney Island and rode the Cyclone roller coaster. And one pair actually got into the subway station's public restroom, okay? And they found that the shoes that flopped their way into the public restroom harbored over 14,000 more bacteria than the other pair. So, Jeff, I think you need to avoid any subway bathrooms. I mean, hello.
No, I think that every time that I needed to go and I was on a train, I just waited.
There's no way you're going to use that bathroom. Right or wrong, Jeff. No way.
No,
way.
Quick pick a street corner.
I'm waiting forever, Chrissy. Pee in my pants if I have to.
Oh, my. And so, listen, and to go further along with our flip-flop and bacteria, so this is quite disturbing. A doctor by the name of Philip M. Tierno Jr., who's actually the director of clinical microbiology and immunology at New York University Medical Center, said that flip-flops can even shelter the lethal germ Staphylococcus aureus, okay? So it can cause serious infections like a boil, or it can have toxins. So he said that it is so bad that it can make you so sick or potentially even kill you.
I think we need to throw away our flip-flops. Now, listen to this. This guy's name is Dr. Germ, okay? He takes his job very seriously. He pointed out that shoes worn, like, over 3 months, like, of an entire summer, 93% were covered with fecal bacteria, 20% had E. coli, and these bacteria detected indicate feces, urine, spit, vomit, animal droppings, okay, which were present all in the streets of the big city in New York City and in public restrooms. And it's something to think about when you walk on the ground of New York City, because think about rats, cockroaches, birds, pigeons. I mean, all these harbingers, all sorts of germs. And, you know, given this, because I'm just thinking about just some nasty stuff when I used to live in New York City, and we would sit down like on the stoops and stuff, like in New York City. I mean, like, it's pretty disgusting. And then, and like, think about it, like your shoes, you're walking around your shoes, and like, say you, like, you know, you're on your carpet, say somebody had carpet, you're walking on somebody's, I mean, man, you got to take off your shoes. Flip flops need to be destroyed. I mean, it's like, I mean, I don't know. Get out the steam cleaning, Jeff. Unbelievable, Chrissy. Unbelievable.
Oh, okay. Let's move on to our next segment, which is our forum question. And we actually skipped a segment last week, and I wanted to make sure we address it this week, because I told our board member on rxmuscle.com, who's Diamond in the Rough, that we would address her question. So her question to us, Colette, is, what is the industry standard for a figure competitor's weight in the off-season, meaning what is a healthy amount of weight to gain for a figure competitor or someone not looking to gain much size? She said it was her last year was her first year ever competing, and when she finished her show, she just went off and ate everything. So this year, she wants to try and find a balance, and she says, you know, we worked so hard to get ready for a show, and then just to lose all that is depressing. So she wants to know that she said she's heard that a lot of pro figure girls are not more than 2 weeks out from a shoot or ad gig, so she's just wondering for some advice on what is a healthy amount of weight to gain.
Well, Chrissy, I'm going to ask you, how much weight do you gain in the off season? You just stay pretty lean.
I, on an average, probably about 10 pounds from competition weight. I would say about within 10 pounds of what I compete at.
And what do you attribute your secrets to? You basically staying on some type of diet plan all year round, more or less?
Yeah, you know, we Troy and I relatively eat clean pretty much all year. Of course, we have to enjoy the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, which we love. So, of course, we have those days. But, you know, overall, you know, when you know how hard it is to get ready for a show, you don't want to go too far off, because then it's that much more work and that much more cardio to get you back down. So, you know, we relatively eat clean all year round, and we try not to have too much bad stuff in the house. You know, of course, I do have my cheesecake every now and then. I won't lie. But, you know, we try to keep it clean.
I mean, I think it's really true. It's like you have to remember, like, when you're competing, how did you get that body? Okay, let's think about it. Okay, yes, I did cardio. I followed a specific diet. I made sure I took all my supplements on time. I drank my water. And then if you think, like, after the show, all of a sudden, that you can, like, abandon the same things that got you into shape, I mean, you really can't. I mean, there has to be just subtle changes. You know, like, you might have another cheat meal. But you have to similarly say, a contest diet has to be somewhat of a way of life, wouldn't you say, Chrissy? I mean, because that's like, you know, the ones, even the bodybuilders that stay really close. I mean, they pretty much say, you know, they add in a little bit extra food. Maybe they'll have a cheat meal or they'll have an extra meal here, but they're pretty regimented. You almost, I mean, because you have to say to yourself, okay, you know what? Now I am truly stepping into being a fitness figure, bodybuilder, athlete, and I'm going to live the lifestyle. I can't just go out and be just throwing away all the rules that took me to look like, you know, a competitive athlete, because, I mean, let's face it, diet is, it's 85%, if not more.
Yep, you know? I agree. And, you know, look at your house. Every time I visit you, there is no junk in that house.
Nope, there's
no. You guys are eating healthy all the time.
I mean, I'll tell you, Dave is a really, and people will say, oh, but I know Dave used to eat. It took a lot for Dave to put on the size he did. And I'll tell you what, Jeff, you can say this to be true. The guy does not, he will not eat sweets.
No, not at all. Never. I've never seen him.
He doesn't do it.
Never seen him.
Never, Chrissy. He won't do it. And I've tried. I'm like, come on. He is so in tune with, like, his body. He's like, he intunes himself to say, I don't like the way it makes me feel. And he just won't do it. I don't know how you just be that disciplined, because, I mean, Chrissy, come on, you know. But, you know, it's like getting so in tune with yourself. You're like, you know, I know what it takes for me to look the way I need to look. And then you just start, those foods, you know, it's like one of the greatest sayings, I guess, in the world is, thin feels better than anything tastes. Whatever. It is a classic line, though, you know what I mean? So, something to think about. I hope that answers her question. But Christy, on that note, we definitely have to take a break. Give our sponsors some L-O-V-E because we have the one and only Dominique Danger on the phone coming up shortly. So let's do that. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Sounds good. See you then.
Muscle Girls, Inc. If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy. I got that JoJo swag. JoJo Energy Drink has it with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements. The science of sports nutrition has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Marcia Prince, new IFBB Bikini Pro, and you're listening to Muscle Girls, Inc.
Sister Steele, alter ego Dominique Danger, is a highly respected female bodybuilder who is well known for her years of contributing to online bodybuilding communities. She has a well-established reputation amongst session wrestlers in the adult fetish industry. She is also a social worker who is dedicated a considerable amount of time towards helping others in the community. Obviously a woman of many talents. Muscle Girls Inc. welcomes the extremely exciting Sister Steele on our show. How are you, Dominique?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me again.
I know. Well, but today I want to give people a different perspective on Dominique. And that's kind of, there's so much to you. There's so many different levels. And I think it's nice to get to know who you are. I mean, who you really are. So I think we kind of fall suit as to the way we look and to perception versus reality. So mm-hmm. With that said, I mean, let's start from the beginning. Okay. You're a little girl, you're growing up. How did you get this attraction towards muscle and working out and looking the way you look now?
Well, it goes back further back than I can really remember because I recall being very young and being under a lot of pressure at home to be in good shape because my father was very athletic. And so we had a facility within our home, which was fully equipped with weights and saunas and jacuzzis. And so we never really needed to go anywhere. Everything was at our disposal. So I kind of grew up around it. I sort of maybe discovered an affinity for lifting and... I suppose I was just genetically predisposed to being stronger than your average female, and so I pursued it just for the fun of it, really. It really never had anything to do with the way I looked. It had a lot more to do with the fact that I enjoyed it and that I loved it, more so than what it did for me physically. It wasn't until much later in my teens or in my late teens and early 20s that I really took my training to a different level and it became more focused on aesthetics really than just the mere pleasure of it. And then from aesthetics I moved on to performance, and so it's kind of was a transition with the years, honestly. So it's been a process, it's a growth really.
Right.
Yeah.
And Dominique, growing up, were you an only child, or did you have brothers that grew up with you, or sisters?
I have twin brothers who are younger than myself. Not much younger. They're about a couple of years younger than me. They are not very athletic. I mean, funny enough, you know, I mean, my brothers are pretty tiny. But, hey, I mean, they don't think much of what I do. They actually think it's pretty disgusting, which is awesome. That's fine. I mean, we're used to it, aren't we? I mean, we get it at home. We get it everywhere. So better start at home. So that kind of breaks you in for what the rest of the world thinks. But they respect it. They respect it. It's funny because most of the time, they tend to sing my praises behind my back, not when I'm watching or listening. But in my face, it's a whole different story. You also have to take into consideration the fact that I come from a very conservative culture, and so it's not...
Where are you from? Where are you from, Dominique?
I am originally Lebanese.
Lebanese, okay.
I was actually born and raised in Lebanon, yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, the culture frowns. I mean, think about it. Over here, in a more modern society, people it's hard to accept our choices as female bodybuilders, let alone when you take it to a more conservative side of the world where women have a lot less privileges than they do in the free world, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So...
There are actually very few Lebanese bodybuilders. My friend, my good friend Mimi Jabali, and yourself. That's the only one. And George Farah. There's not as many.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true. But I'm the only one who's. I don't know much about George. I actually know Mimi pretty well, but I don't really know if she's ever visited. But I'm just going to assume that she's born and raised American, so it's a little different.
It's totally different.
Yeah, it's a little different when you're actually brought up in the culture and you're surrounded by it, and it's you kind of nurtured by those principles growing up, and so it's a lot of different principles are instilled in you and through childhood. So I suppose maybe my perspective might be a little bit different.
Definitely.
And Dominique, you're quite a strong woman. So what are your stats in terms of your height and your weight? Because you pretty much stay in shape all year round, correct?
Well, it depends what your definition of in shape is, really. I'm 5'5", at about 95 kilos right now, which would be about 209 pounds, 210, something like that. And I'm at a very comfortable weight where it comes... I mean, this was my goal throughout the past few years, was to get to a weight where I could look good and perform my best. So, because ideally, most of the time as a lifter, when I am heavier, I tend to be more comfortable under the heavy weight. And so... I got to a point where I was a little heavier than I would have liked to be, and it wasn't very attractive to me, at least, anymore. Even though I have a lot of clients who loved it, and I got a lot of positive responses from a lot of people, but personally, I didn't like it. I did not like the fact that, I mean, when I get over a certain weight, I have a tendency to lose a lot of my shape, and so I just look like a box versus anything that actually flows aesthetically. And even though, you know, I mean, I try to put my performance first, but ideally, you know, the way I look is important as well, because for me, for my clients, for my husband, God knows, you know, he hates it when I get too big. But I mean, I'm about, well, for my last dunk, which is the way I usually get my body fat tested, for my hydrostatic testing, I was at 14.8 at 210 pounds and 5'5".
Wow. That's
which is relatively decent. I'm not, my legs are very lean usually. As I think that kind of works as a disadvantage sometimes because of the cushioning that I get around the knee joints, and I kind of like that. Well, right before a meet, I'll tell you this, I tend to carb up and purposely spill over so that I retain as much water and fluid as possible. It makes it a lot more comfortable on my joints. So, yes, you can say that I am at a point now where I do stay in shape year-round, and I am within 10 pounds of, like, if I'm competing, I'm 10 pounds of competition weight, and if I have to get ready for a photo shoot or some video work or production work or whatever, I'm 10 pounds of that. So it's just a matter of just a little extra cardio with a water drop, and I'm right there where I want to be. I'm much tighter and leaner and a lot more definition everywhere. Or, you know, just force feed myself and then, you know, hit the platform, get some good numbers in, and then it's back to, you know.
Well, Dominique, let's talk about your performance and your clients. What are some of your best lifts? And I'm interested in what's the heaviest person you lift? Because for those of you that are listening, you do sessions, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But like, I'm assuming these guys are interested in how strong you are and your dominance. So given that, give us some of your best lifts and in the gym, and some of the best lifts or the biggest person you might have had to lift.
The biggest person, God, they are big.
I get this question all the time. Guys are like, Colette, can you lift me up 300 pounds? No, I can't, because human weight is insanely different than regular weight in the gym.
Absolutely. Amen to that. It is a whole completely different ball game, and it's a collaborated effort between you and the client to actually executing a lift, because there's the factor of balance that comes into play. And quite honestly, you know, the more out of shape a person is, really, the harder it is to lift them. And if you think about it, how often do you get somebody weighing over 300 pounds who's actually in shape? Not very often, at least not in our line of work. So I have benched a 380-pound individual. He was absolutely massive, I tell you. But
so did you have him be like stiff as a board? Are you just like, because people have asked me to do this, I'm like, how, what do you have to do, make sure that their bodies are stiff? Because you know how it's unevenly balanced on a human body?
Yeah. Well, there are really many ways to do it. You can actually, you can position yourself next to on the floor, and they can use the wall for balance, and then you can actually just perform like a flat fly.
Oh,
and
my
so
God.
They'll stand on the opposite sides of your biceps, and then you'll just basically just contract and squeeze the chest muscles in, and you can perform a lift that way. I mean, you don't even really need to move them too much. They're just fascinated by the fact that you can even budge them.
Right.
So sometimes, you know, they could bend over you if you're on the floor, and you can grab, you know, basically you have to see where the person is heaviest. If they carry most of their weight in their midsection, then you might want to position yourself to where you can align your centers of gravity, and you can just grab the crotch and grab the neck, and then, you know, just basically perform a press. And I squatted a 320-pound individual. So that was ass to the floor too. I was very impressed with myself.
So what did you do? Cradle them over your back? You kind of like have them hang on your back, right? And then you...
Yeah.
Okay.
I have done it that way with the relatively much heavier individuals, but anybody weighing up to 260 or even 280, I can actually have them sit on my shoulders, pick them up off
I see what
the
you're
floor,
saying. I gotcha.
And squat
okay.
them down. Yeah.
Pretty
I mean,
neat.
It depends on how high your ceilings are too, because sometimes, you know, the ceiling isn't high enough to really carry somebody on your shoulders.
Right.
But if it is, you know, I'll pick them up off the floor and then position them in front of a mirror, because they are very visual people, so you really have to have mirrors everywhere, you know, and just, you know, perform the lift to where they can see it and enjoy it. So that would be for the squat. I mean, deadlifts are easy. I don't really think that's much. It's really not a very impressive feat, because, I mean, if you can deadlift a decent amount of weight off the floor, it's basically just picking up, you know, dead weight, and if you get a good grip, you're good. I mean, just I've had that happen many times. Sometimes I grab them by the belt and I end up breaking the belt. So let's not grab the belts. No more belts.
Right.
No more belts. So if they cross their arms, you can basically get a good hook under the armpit, and then they can cross the legs, and you can hook them from the knee and just perform a lift that way.
I mean, Dominic, you are a fully sponsored, full-time strength athlete. Am I correct? You're sponsored and trained with an Olympic-style gym and international coaches and everything. So tell us a little bit about that. And then, okay, so I've kind of got an idea what you're doing for your performance with these, you know, the people that you're lifting and all that. Now, what about while you are competing in powerlifting?
Well, Olympic-style weightlifting is completely different than powerlifting, really. I mean, Olympic-style weightlifting is the first strength sport. I mean, that is where the rest of the other strength sports originated from, such as powerlifting and strongman and strongwoman. Initially, it all started out with the clean and jerk and the snatch, which are our two basic lifts as Olympic-style lifters. And everything that we perform in the gym is in support of these two lifts. So we really don't train for hypertrophy anymore. We train for strength, which means that our rep ranges are much lower. So we do a lot of singles and doubles and triples, kind of like the Bulgarians that they did back in the day for the Olympics. And I started out doing that. I will tell you how I started out doing that. I basically wanted to take my training to a different level. And, you know, I mean, I basically did some research and looked around my area because I had moved from Florida back to Atlanta, and I wasn't very familiar with the gyms in this vicinity. And so I had asked around, and I heard of Coffey's Gym, and everybody knows Coffey's Gym. It's been around for ages, and some of the best strength athletes in the country have come through, have passed through John Coffey at one point or another. And so I figured, since he had the only facility that was equipped for strong women, so I paid him a visit, and I told him that, you know, I expressed an interest in his equipment. Well, John wouldn't let me. I mean, the minute he laid eyes on me, he would not. I mean, he would not take no for an answer. Basically, there is just a build to a good lifter. I mean, before you even get a lifter under a bar, you really you have to take a look at the way the structure of the physique, and you know, the muscle insertions and the ankles and Achilles tendons and the arm lockouts, and you just have to be cognizant of all these factors that play a major role in actually developing a good lifter in the future. And that is how they basically, in the European nations, they pick their athletes when they're very young. They pick them from a very young age, you know, by their structures, and that is how they invest in them. You have to know whether or not an athlete is worth investing in before you put all this time and effort into them. And so John got me under a bar, and he told me to lock my arms out, told me to come down in a full squat, and he was like, that's it, you look like you came out of the womb in that position. I was like, I don't think so. Because, you know, as a bodybuilder, I never really had to squat ass to the floor. I mean, think about it. How many times do you really put that heavy weight and go and just sit in that hole for a few seconds? Like, we're talking about a dead pause with your ass literally touching your ankles, and then explode out of the hole with that weight. I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never had to do that.
No.
Plus, you know, I've always been, everything I have ever been conditioned to believing, or everything I have ever researched, or my personal experiences, is that anytime I have gone under parallel, I have felt a lot of tension on my knees. But surprisingly enough, the more I researched that, the more I realized that honestly, the lower you are, the low parallel, the less strain it is on the knee. And so I felt a little comfortable knowing that, because I'm very worried about my knees, because if I lose a knee, I'm screwed. I mean, you lose a knee, you're done. There's nothing, a knee, a shoulder, you're done. And so I really, really baby my knees and my shoulders and my back like it's nobody's business.
So all this weight you're lifting, you have no injuries?
I do not, believe it or not. I am,
so
thank
lucky.
You, Jesus, knock on wood. I am, Well, I am in a lot of pain all the time. I require a lot more time off than I have the luxury of to enjoy. But I have to deal with it, just like, you know, it's just growing, really. And I try to work around certain things. But besides, you know, the discomforts, which are due to probably overtraining or I'm pretty injury free, thank you.
Oh, that's very great.
I mean, let me ask, I also saw somewhere that you actually fight with Team Alliance, which is ranked one of the best martial arts academies in the world. So being a bodybuilder and 200 pounds, does that affect how you perform your martial arts?
Actually, I was 220 usually. I had to lose a lot of size to get on the mat and be a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And at 220, I can tell you this, I was really a pain in the ass, you know, to work with, because I'm heavy and I use my weight as leverage a lot. And because I'm not as experienced as the athletes that I work and train with, because obviously they've been doing it a lot longer than I have, they have a tendency to use a lot more technique. I have more of a tendency to use strength, which kind of screws me, because, you know, if you are resorting to using your power and your strength, you have it, then you might neglect really focusing on the technique at hand and developing your game. And it was a problem in the sense that I lacked a lot of flexibility, and my cardiovascular was not as good. So dropping those extra 10 pounds made a world of difference, especially, you know, incorporated with my Olympic style lifting. I've gotten a lot of flexibility in the hips and in the ankles, and in the shoulders, my God, which enables me to roll on the mat very freely. And my cardiovascular is optimal. I mean, I do at least 2 hours of cardio every single day religiously. So my cardio is excellent. Mm-hmm. So I can pretty much hold my own on the mat with some of the big boys. So I'm pretty happy about that. I've had to work at it, but, you know, just like everything else, it's a process. Really.
Well, Dominique, let's talk about how you translate all these skills in the martial arts arena, in the Olympic lifting, into making money in a non-traditional sense. I mean, how did you? Because you don't really, do you compete as a female bodybuilder, or is it more powerlifting and martial arts?
I only compete in Olympic style lifting and in martial arts.
All right. So how do you translate this into? How did you roll into doing sessions? I mean, does it come about like it happens to all of us female bodybuilders? You start getting these barrage of emails, and you're like, huh, this is something interesting too.
That is exactly how it starts. You know it.
I know. I'm here to tell the truth. It is. You don't even know what you're getting into. You're like, let me think. $300 to feel my bicep. It's not a bad gig. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
That
you
can't
know?
Be that bad.
Right.
Yes, that is exactly how it starts. It honestly started with somebody who saw me on Andy's Muscle Goddesses, I think, back in the day. And apparently the guy was from my hometown. I mean, ironically enough, of all the people on the face of this earth, somebody from my own country, back in little East Bumble's sandbox, in where they're supposed to be oozing conservatism.
Right.
So ironically enough, I get contacted by one of those, and he proposes, I can't really exactly remember what his proposition was at the time, but he had suggested, you know, he had mentioned the WB 270, which is the wrestler's list, and had no fucking clue what that was all about. So I guess what I did was I put in a request to get on the list, and shortly after that I got some pretty sick responses. And quite honestly, it starts out with you being very leery of what to expect, and then when you've been doing it a while, it becomes like a second nature, really. You don't really think much about it anymore. And that's really how it started. You know, I took that first gig, and that first gig led to a second gig, and that second gig.
What are your limitations? Like, some girls are full service. I mean, what are your limitations? What do you specialize in?
I do not offer full service. I don't think the women should offer full service, honestly, because, I mean, that's just my personal opinion, and everybody's entitled to do whatever they are comfortable doing with their bodies. But honestly, it's kind of taken away a lot from the industry. The session industry is not meant to demean what we do as female bodybuilders. It's really meant to, to celebrate it. I mean, these are people who are seriously infatuated and in love with what you've done with yourself, and not everybody wants to stick it, you know. Not everybody is running around with a raging hard on wanting to stick you with it,
and I think that's a really interesting point, Dominique and Christy. I didn't know, the THS special was on, and Lauren Powers, and her and I, and I know Christy knows Lauren very well, have had long talks about this, and Lauren's like, Colette, I have never been more proud of something that I do, because she goes, I don't do that. She goes, she says the same thing you do, Dominique. It's fine if the other girls do it, and that's it's all personal prerogative, but she really just explores the beauty of muscle and sharing it with somebody that's just infatuated with it. And what is so wrong with that? There's really nothing. It's when it's always right. And and that's kind of what's happened, is that you can take something so, you know, that should be glorified and appreciated, and then because it's just gone down, it's how it's perspective and reality and whatever, and it's
and sadly enough, to be honest with you, we have a horrible reputation as bodybuilders on the session scene, because you know the wrestling industry really did not cater to bodybuilders alone. It caters to athletic, strong, fit women. It had nothing to do with bodybuilding.
Right.
But then there was this huge influx of female bodybuilders, because guess what? We don't really have anywhere to go to make money off the way we look. So we were attracted to that industry in particular, and because we cannot provide certain services, because, I mean, think about it, we have to compete, we have to diet and train, and if you sustain an injury, then you're pretty much done, and you miss an entire season and waste a shit ton of money trying to recuperate and recover. And so a lot of the female bodybuilders who get into this industry really don't have a lot to offer but that.
I know that.
So they will offer, So, I mean, plus think about it. I mean, how easy is it to fuck someone? Fucking easy. Here you go.
Lifting.
Spread them and stick it.
Benching a 360-pound guy.
That is hard shit. That is hard work.
That's hard shit. No, it is. That's no joke.
I mean, I have to take a week off to do this.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And not saying, you know, that I'm not sensual and erotic in my sessions, because ultimately they are men. And they, you know, they do seek that thrill, but it's not a prerequisite. You know, I don't come with a "you're definitely getting jacked off" disclaimer. It doesn't. I don't come with that.
Right.
You know, you're definitely getting your fantasy fulfilled, and these are my stipulations. These are my boundaries. And very rarely, quite honestly, do I attract anybody who really does want to fuck me. So, but basically, if I did mention that, if I said, "I just need you to know that there is nothing illegal in my sessions, I do not offer full service," they get offended. They're offended. Like, why would you even say that to me? How could you even think that? I mean, why would I have so much more respect for you than that? Why would you even think that I wanted that?
Right.
And then, you know, you're in a position to say, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you that. Guess what? I mean, there are a lot of assholes out there who really think they are going to get that."
Right.
So it's just it's my job to tell you before you show up with all that money, promising yourself that you're going to get some pussy, and then, you know, deprive you of it.
Right, right.
Well, let me ask, how does doing these sessions affect your ability to have your personal relationships?
Well, the only man I have known since I have been doing sessions has been my husband. We were married before I started doing sessions, and we are happily married now, and we actually discussed it together. It was a joint decision. For me to even explore this avenue. You know how it is. In the beginning, you really don't know how somebody's going to react. And we are very conservative people, as much as people think that that is the absolute most ridiculous statement I could ever make. But I am. I consider myself conservative at home. I mean, I'm not running around with a strap on. You know, I mean, I'm not.
Let's make that clear, everybody.
You're so cute. I'm not running.
Right.
So, we discussed it, and we did have some difficult times in the beginning because, you know, my husband is sort of, he manages my work, and mm-hmm. he does a lot of my video productions, and so sometimes I found myself in situations where he had to shoot very uncomfortable scenes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, holy shit.
I mean, I guess you gotta look at it, you gotta look at it like acting, and to some degree, like, if you're an actor, well, yeah, you know?
To some degree, but when a guy pulls his dick out and is jacking himself off all over your legs, no, I don't think the man's
gonna, right. It's not usually,
you know. Yeah, it's, he's not. Yeah, I mean, usually if a man has, I mean, a lot of people are very open about a lot of things. People swing, people pass each other around like baseball cards.
Right.
But that's not my thing, you know. It's not. I'm actually a one. You know, I'm actually a very monogamous individual. And believe me, we have double standards out the ass in this house. I mean, if I had to do something, it doesn't mean he can do it. Nope.
Right. It's, yeah.
So I can do it, but your ass is not.
Right.
If I catch you doing that shit, I'm gonna snip it.
Isn't that funny? I know.
Yeah, it'll be the last thing you do.
Right.
So I sort of stopped doing that. So he doesn't do any of my video productions anymore. We had a few disagreements in the beginning, but you know, and he got used to it. I got used to it. Move on.
It's every relationship is unique in its own way, and you all have come with different dynamics and personalities, and you just it's just gotta work. Either it's gonna work or it doesn't, and you know, it sounds like
absolutely.
You know, I'm gonna ask you a tough question, and this is one that I kind of want to bring out just because we have a lot of women listening. We have a lot of women that are being misled or misguided, and I don't think anybody really has the true answer to this, but the THS special on female bodybuilders was on, and there was a huge segment talking about that every single female bodybuilder is using steroids, whether that be true or not true. If there was a young woman listening to this show and they were interested in steroids or anabolic steroids or building muscle, and they talk to the average guy at the gym, will just simply tell them, just take half of what I'm taking, which I think personally is completely unadvisable. And most of these guys that do that just don't have any clue about the female anatomy and what that all entails. But if you were to suggest a cycle that would be the safest for a woman to avoid side effects, but yet still feel the benefits of building some muscle, what would your thoughts be on that?
My honest opinion.
And again, this is just an opinion. This is, you know.
Okay, honest opinion, and this is the gospel truth. If a woman wants to avoid side effects, and avoid steroids. It's as simple as that.
It's really as simple as that.
There are miracles that you can make. You can work a miracle with diet. Mm-hmm. A miracle, I swear. Most people think that we preach on the boards to these women, let's look at your diet first. Or how about we look at your diet first before we look at your cycle, before we even write a cycle out for you. You know, women think, or they are under the assumption that we try to sway them away from using steroids because we want to hog all that information for ourselves, when the reality is that it is really that simple. The things that diet can do, the way you can manipulate your body with nutrition alone works more than gear ever can on its own. Ever. I mean, gear is just supposed to be like the icing on the cake. It's supposed to be just an aid. It's supposed to be just a supplement. That's exactly what it is. It's a supplement. And what does the word supplement mean? So the word supplement is something that works in conjunction with something else. So the sad thing is that you have a lot of women who are attracted who are attracted to using because they think that it's miracle in a pill. It's going to work magic. It's going to miraculously tone them up and drop that body fat and just because a woman has a basic knowledge of nutrition and can throw out a stupid diet on the board that she's probably copy pasted from somewhere else, that doesn't mean, you know,
Dominique,
that doesn't mean.
Don't you love it when you're at the gym and you've got a girl? She says, she's a little chunky, and she says, well, I'm taking Winstrol. Colette, and I heard it's going to get me ripped. I'm just like, I feel like, where is this? Who is, it isn't going to get you ripped. You're 25 pounds overweight. You know what I mean? What, you know, and I think you said it perfectly. Diet is really, it's, food is the magic pill, really. And all this crazy, you know, things that you're hearing and thinking that that's the answer. And yeah, I need to get on anabolic steroids because that's going to build me the body that I need. And
it won't. And believe me, it's all about nutrient timing too. I mean, it's all about, you know, being able to being with time and of course experience. You know how to read your body better. You know how to manipulate your training. You know how your body responds to certain things. You change around the smallest of things. I mean, you hear people do it every day. You hear people say, "Well, I stopped drinking sodas and I dropped 10 pounds." I mean, think about it. It's something that trivial. Right. Imagine if you were take it to a much higher level, take it to the level of an elite athlete, and then say, "Well, I dropped my cardio from an hour to 45 minutes, and holy shit, you know, I had this huge this miraculous metamorphosis." I mean, it really is that simple. It's a matter of just manipulating small, minute factors to cause the biggest of changes. Even as women, even though we are estrogen infested balls, yes. You know, but there are even, you can even control prolactin and estrogen levels with vegetables. I mean, there are so many ways you can actually manipulate your hormonal balance, stay healthy, and be able to put on muscle. I mean, muscle really is... It kills me. It kills me. What kills me is honestly seeing women drug themselves to kingdom come to weigh 120 pounds. I mean, fuck me.
it's, you know? It's true. Yeah, it is true.
I mean, you want to drug yourself to kingdom come, you better look like Godzilla. You know, I mean, seriously, and that is not, you know, definitely not to encourage anybody to look like Godzilla, but, but I'm just saying that right. With the way, you know, it's just the thought process behind the entire concept of using is just flawed, and that is a huge downfall for us, and especially for some
women, because what makes me sad is when I speak with some women a few years later after they were influenced by either a boyfriend or a trainer or what have you, and they're like, "Well, Colette, this is happening to me now, and I just, you know," and there's a lot of depression that's associated with some of these side effects, and it's just sad because I'm like, "Well, what happened?" She's like, "Well, this is what I was told to do," and I'm like, "Well, whatever happened
that's
to
it,
you that, figuring
that,
you know
yeah,
this blind
you said.
Thought
you said it right there, that's what it is, that is even more pathetic.
It's upsetting.
A woman
yeah.
who wants to accuse a man for something she did.
Right, and I'm thinking,
I mean,
where is your responsibility?
You
yeah.
Exactly. You fucked up because you didn't bother to research or to educate yourself on what you were getting yourself into. But it's so much easier to point the finger and blame somebody. Oh, it's his fault. He left me because I grew a beard or my kid's too big. So, he divorced me and married a bikini competitor. I mean... it's always the guy's fault.
But women have to take responsibility. I've heard as much as girls, because I mean, I talked to so many. Well, he just filled up a syringe and he gave it whatever. I'm like, well, how much? Do you have any idea? They have no idea. I'm like, milligrams, dosage, a cc, two cc's, right? And
it's
like, well,
blue bottle,
right. He just filled it up and gave it to me. I'm like, take responsibility. Somebody's gonna put something in your body. You better know what it is, how much it is, and research. Because I mean, at the end of the day, it's your body and it's your responsibility. You know, so
exactly.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Amen.
You know, the more responsibility we take for our bodies, you know, the less of a mess you'll find yourself in, you know, way down the road when everything's said and done and the lights are out. You know, it's just you and yourself when it's all over.
It is so true.
And you got to be able to live with that.
Yeah.
You got to be able to live with that, yeah.
Well, Dominique, what new projects do you have in the works that you can share with our listeners and fans, and how can they get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me on RX Muscle on a daily basis. I am actually available on RX Muscle to answer any questions.
You have your own thread on there, so you can definitely reach her right in the forums.
Yep, you can find me in the forums. You can PM me. I'd be happy to address anybody's concerns.
Your website.
You know.
What about your website?
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yes, okay. The website is DominiqueDanger.com. Actually, there are a few different ones, but they all lead back to the same landing page. So it would be either Sadistic Submissions or Dominique Danger.
Well, Dominique, I'm telling you, so, you are, I told you, I was, you know, Lee Penman and I are another writer on Hours Muscle. I was very excited about this interview, and I'm telling you, you're such an exciting guest. I have to get you back on because you're compelling.
I am very appreciative. Thank you very much. I'm flattered that you would even consider me for the show.
Oh, and I think what you had to say today was really, really good stuff and stuff that people really need to hear. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate it, your honesty.
Thank you so much.
Right, it was great.
Thank you, Chrissy. Thanks, Colette. I really appreciate you guys having me on the show. And
we definitely need to have you back on. We definitely need to have you back on. Thank you. Thank you so much, sweetie.
Muscle Girls Inc.
If you're a serious athlete, you know you need energy to keep going. Good energy.
I got that JoJo swagger.
JoJo Energy Drink has it, with only 4 calories and no sugar, essential antioxidants, acai berry, and green tea extracts in pure spring water. And with flavor infusion technology, it's always 100% fresh. Oh yeah, with 6 incredible flavors, JoJo Energy Drink tastes awesome. Now you've got a new workout partner. Get good energy. Get JoJo Energy Drink. Available at JoJoEnergy.com.
Have supplement needs? Iron Flex Supplements, the science of sports nutrition, has you covered. IronFlexSupplements.com provides top quality products with prices 30 to 60% below retail. We help not only the hardcore athlete, but also anyone trying to get back in shape or who just want to maintain a healthy lifestyle. We have everything from pro hormones to protein to essential vitamins and minerals. Stuck with your current training regimen? Check out our personal training section. Here you can find a program to better fit your needs and goals. IronFlexSupplements.com, the only supplement site you'll ever need.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Species Nutrition.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Lisewski, IFBB Pro. You're listening to Muscle Girls Inc.
Our next guest is not only a top-notch IFBB fitness pro, nicknamed Energizer Bunny, but she's also a contributing writer for Max Muscle, Natural Muscle, Faith and Fitness, the NPC News, and Bodybuilding.com. She has also graced the pages of some of today's top fitness publications, such as Oxygen, Flex, and Muscle and Fitness. Plus, she was on the American Gladiators as Stealth. This amazing woman has such an amazing spirit, both on and off the stage. Muscle Girls Inc. would like to welcome the beautiful Tanji Johnson to our show. Hey, Tanji.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks
you
for
say the nicest thing.
I know.
It's all you, baby.
That's all.
Well, it's funny, when I was younger, I used to have a hard time accepting compliments, and my girlfriend, I had a girlfriend that would always just say, "You say the nicest thing."
We just throw about every ass kissing compliment in our intros. You know what I mean? We get our guests all buttered up.
That's
oh my
awesome.
God. All right.
Well, Tanji, you know, this weekend I got to spend some time with you at the 619 Bash, and I have to say, you have the most positive aura about you, and I've always told you this, but how do you keep yourself so positive?
You know, actually, I will admit that I'm not always 100% positive, but I will say that the times when you get to experience the really positive Tanji is when you're experiencing the spiritually connected Tanji, the Tanji that is in communion with God. And actually, I went through a year, last year was a pretty tough year for me, and I definitely didn't feel like I was as in communion with God, and I saw it totally affect my whole attitude, just about my life. And I moved back to Seattle in January and just kind of got replugged in, reconnected to my church, my community, my friends, my family, my life, my spirit. And, you know, I feel like I've just kind of rediscovered who I am. And so I would definitely say that when you do experience that in me, it's when I'm in communion with God. And that's it. That's my answer.
Nicely said. Wow. Well, let's go back to something I'm really interested in is the American Gladiators. I mean, this was okay. The coolest thing everybody heard about. I even actually went to a tryout myself, and I mean,
did you? I did,
and then realized that my shoulders are so whacked out. I mean, I'm getting actually, everybody knows this, and I complain every week, but I'm getting surgery the 8th. I was like, there's no way. I would definitely be in the surgical unit, like, in a week. And speak, you know, so let's, we're going to go into that with you, Tanji, because, but let's talk about, let's go back to the tryouts and tell people what that went through and how that process all evolved for you.
You know, it was really fun. It was kind of, I was taken off guard because I'll never forget, I think I got a text from Julie, oh my gosh, my name is escaping me right now, Julie from Fitness America, Julie IFBB Pro,
Julianne Coolia, Julie Childs, Julianne Coolia?
Yes. Okay. Sorry, Julie, you can shoot me later, I'm on a low-carb diet.
She's slipping.
She texted me and said, she left me a phone message saying, you need to try out for Gladiators. And then I think the same day, Kim Lyons had sent me an email saying that I need to try out. And so I gave them both a call and said, what are you guys talking about? They're like, she's like, they're bringing the show back, didn't you know? And then they said, you know, and they're looking for, you know, really attractive athletic ladies, you know, kind of like fitness and figure competitors, and you would be perfect. And of course, Kim was like, and I have the, you know, inside connection with NBC, and I just know what they're looking for, and I think that you would be great, so you should definitely make it worth your time to come down here. And I go down to LA a lot anyway for photo shoots and to work with my gymnastics coach, so I just happened to be down in LA, I think the week before the Olympia, because I was competing in the Night of Champions for figure, and the tryouts were the day before. So it wasn't perfect timing for my show, but it was perfect timing for being in L.A., so I just went down to Goat's Gym Fitness and was with Julie and a couple other girls. Actually, I tried out with Koya Webb, who ended up being a contestant on the show, and Michael Hearn and Cheryl and Roy, we all tried out together. And the energy was great. It was really exciting. It was funny because as I looked around, I kind of had that producer's mindset, and I looked at everybody, and I thought to myself, okay, there's some really athletic people here. Maybe not the look that they may be looking for, as I'm thinking of the possible look they're probably going to try to look for on TV. Or I saw some really pretty girls, and I thought, you know, their physiques aren't impressive enough to be a gladiator. You know, like I just had this aura of what I thought a gladiator would look like. And it's the face, and it's the physique, and it's the athletic ability, and it's the attitude, and the personality, and the showmanship. And so I just kind of looked around, and I saw sometimes one or two of those things, but I didn't really see a lot of people walking around with that total package. And so I thought that was interesting. I thought this is why you could have thousands and thousands of people trying out for something, and then they have a hard time finding the right people. Mm-hmm. So I tried out, and I did the, you know, the sprint and the pull-ups and the shuttle run and the burpees. And then athletically, when you were done with that, they wanted to put you on camera for about 5 minutes just to see how you spoke and what your personality was like. And then I think they knew after that day's activities, who they wanted to call back for a more extensive on-camera interview. So 4 days later, I went back into their studio and recorded a 10-minute interview of them asking me more questions and me being able to basically give them more personality and sending them videos of different things I've done in fitness. And then about 2 to 3 weeks later, I remember it being after, this all happened before the Olympia, and then after the Olympia, they flew a small group of us out for what they call the final casting, which is when we go in front of the executive producers. And that was pretty stressful. It was pretty much like you knew that it was down to just a handful of people. And ironically, it's funny because you can kind of tell how the demographics works in Hollywood, because I showed up and there's like two black girls, me and Alicia Marie, and then there's like two brunettes and three blondes and two, you know, it was just like two or three of everybody, if you know what I mean.
Right.
And so we're all looking around like, okay, we're aware of who our competition is. I'm looking at Alicia like, I love you, but basically it's going to be me or you. I would love for them to pick up both of us, but they're probably not going to have two black female gladiators, at least not right up front. And so that was pretty stressful. And so it was amazing because, you know, I'm competing with people that I know, like Beth Horn and Valerie Wagaman, Jamie Reed, and a lot of us are from the industry. Kim Lyons was there as well, and we're all auditioning. And, you know, I would say the process, the little competition process started then, where it's a pecking order and it's all about being selected. And that never really ends. I would say even when the few of us were selected, selected to become gladiators, there's always a next step. It's like, okay, well, who's going to be in the commercial? Who's going to be the poster child for gladiators? Who's going to be in this event? You know, who's going to be invited to this party? Who's going to be the spokesperson? And I always felt like that was always present throughout the whole filming and process of the show. So there's a lot involved. I'm going to let you ask me a few questions because I'll talk forever.
It's good stuff.
But, you know, I mean, that's basically what the audition process was like. And I remember thinking what was interesting is even during the audition process, producers were still asking us if we knew of other men and women that would be good. And I'm thinking, they are really
struggling. Ready. Yeah, they're ready to replace me, you know.
They're what?
They're ready to replace me already.
Oh, I was either thinking that or I was thinking, okay, they're looking for other contestants or they're looking for a few more gladiators because they were very specific in what they were looking for. And
right.
I thought, wow, this is like, and I'm thinking, you're asking me? Like, you're asking me if I know of any other blondes? Like, I'm going to, you know, pimp out anybody else when
right.
I got my girl Beth Horn here auditioning
right.
and Kim Lyons. And the same thing, well, what about any tall brunettes? And I'm thinking, you've got three of them in front of you. What else do you want?
Yeah.
So I think I knew from early on not to ever feel secure.
Right, that's Hollywood, though, you know, that is.
That is Hollywood. That is definitely Hollywood.
Well, Tangie, on the gladiators, you did suffer an injury. So can you tell our listeners a little about that and how you overcame that obstacle?
Well, let's see. I mean, as you know, when you're doing anything aggressive, we take the risk of getting hurt. People always say, you tore your ACL, you're out for about 8 months. You know, if you had to do it all over again and you knew you were going to get hurt, would you still do it? I'm like, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'll always be able to tell my grandkids that I was a gladiator and I used to beat up on people, even if it was just for half a season. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. I still would do it. But I got injured in season one. There was a couple of events that I really liked. I didn't realize that I enjoyed contact sports so much. Don't give me a ball, though, because I have the worst hand-ball coordination. But anything with, like, person-to-person contact, I really enjoy. And I didn't realize that until we went to training camp and we started wrestling and doing powerball and practice capping each other. And I just really realized how much I enjoy doing that because everything I've always done, like gymnastics, dancing, you know, being in the military, it was always like a one-woman show. And I've always been athletic, but not necessarily in the sports way. So I had a few favorite events, powerball, where you got to tackle people, and then the pyramid, because once again, you get to tackle people, but on a pyramid. Well, we had this one contestant, Monica. She ended up winning the whole season for season one, and she was probably the first girl I went up against that was bold. I mean, and I was not prepared for what she was about to do because most contestants are really, they're running away from you and they're trying to get away from you. Where she was, you know, squared in front of me and I was hovering over her, you know, just getting ready to just grab her. And she does this like wrestling move where she just kind of pulls on my neck and causes me to kind of lean forward and lose my balance and I just go tumbling down. And then she starts running up to the top of the pyramid. I don't know if anyone saw this. I think it was probably episode 5 or something. So I go sprinting after her and I grab her ankle right before she hits the buzzer, and I'm thinking to myself, oh heck no, this is not about to happen. She's not going to win on my watch. So I just made up my mind in my head. It's one of those, like, as a competitor, it's like I'm going balls to the wall 100%. I am going to pull her down if it takes every mite of my body. And I pulled her, yanked her so hard that the Velcro on the mats of the pyramid pulled off. So we both went flying backwards. So imagine that. You're holding on to something. It comes undone, and we both get flung backwards. And that's when I got hurt because basically once I pulled her and we went flying backwards, we were already at the top. So as I came tumbling down, my leg hit one of the little pyramids, and my knee hyperextended on the way down.
And did you know right then that you're like, shit, this is...
Oh, yeah. I definitely heard a screeching sound, like a pop and a screeching sound, and it felt like a tear. Like, it felt like my knee, my leg hyperextended, like it went the wrong way. And so I thought to myself, I just broke my leg. And so as I tumbled down, I grabbed my knee, and I felt like it got stuck. Like, you know how it just kind of cramps and then you can't open it? And so I just stayed there kind of in shock, you know, like the pain hadn't settled in, but I think I just broke my leg. And then, of course, everything comes to mind. You're thinking, is this it?
Yeah,
I did five episodes. It's over already? Dang it.
No.
Because I'm thinking, I know I'm going to have to get surgery.
Did you have surgery?
I did. You know, what was really tough about that day, and it's important for people to understand things like this about Hollywood, that the day that I got injured happened to be the same day that we had to shoot the introductions for the show. So what this means is, you know, after we competed and did each of our events that night, we had to film the intro, which is us coming out, oh, let me introduce Stealth and let me introduce Titan. And there was nothing we could do about it. It's not like they were going to postpone shooting the introductions for, what, a week later? So I'm injured, I'm icing, I'm laying down. But then at the end of the night, when it was time to shoot, I had to get back up on my leg. That was, you know, my ACL was gone. My leg is swollen from all the getting up and getting down, getting up and getting down. I basically had to walk it out as if I wasn't hurt. You know, I couldn't walk out in crutches in the intro. It's like, we got our first gladiator, she's on crutches. So basically, I had to kind of stumble out. That's why when you watch the intros, you know, you got like Beth doing an aerial and somebody else doing a backflip and everybody's running and jumping, and then I'm just walking like I'm cool.
Wow.
With my hands up in the air like, yeah.
Now, what
and
was
it's because I had torn my ACL that morning, but we had to suck it up and work. I mean, we worked till 1 o'clock that morning. So things like that, like I thought competing in a show was hard, you know, like how we're there till 11 at night sometimes waiting backstage. You know, Hollywood productions, I mean, they're very similar. You get there at 8, 9 in the morning and you're in makeup for 3 hours and then you're filming all day long, and sometimes you're doing extra stuff like photo shoots until 1 in the morning that night.
Now listen, how long after this injury happened did you then get surgery right away?
Yes, I did. I got injured in December, and I had surgery in January. So it took about, I probably walked around for about a month and was able to get surgery scheduled back in Seattle with the same doctor that did my Achilles.
And now, how is your knee now? Are we, like, back to 100% tangy?
Yeah, you know, I was able to compete on the Olympia stage 8 months after my surgery. And I wouldn't say I was 100%, but I did things that I knew I could do. Like, I didn't do certain flips, and I didn't do aerials and stuff like that. I would say now, my knee is good to go, but what I will say about ACL injuries is I feel like once you've had surgery on a knee, you're always going to feel it. And that's how I feel. Like I was just telling my friends, I mean, I'm doing 3 hours of cardio, and you know, after every workout, I'm pretty much back on my back in my house with knees, ice on my knees, both of them actually, from all the impact. But they get sore, they get run down, and I think my quads are working really hard to compensate. And so there's a lot of, I'm having to pay more attention to rest and recovery, and I'm having to schedule my whole contest prep a lot smarter. I can't just do high impact every day like I'd want to. Sometimes with routines, I would normally drill out maybe 10 to 12 reps for every single trick. Maybe now certain things like aerials or certain flips, I tell myself, you're going to do it 5 times and that's it, you're done. Because any more than that, it's just going to be wear and tear on that knee, and that knee needs to be able to perform in 5 weeks.
Exactly. You just got to be smart now. You know what? We're not 20 years old anymore. I feel it
right?
every day.
I'm definitely
oh my
feeling that.
I know. Man, it's not right. You know, Tanji, go on, Chrissy. I was going to interrupt.
Tanji, I want to go back a little bit because you were actually in the Air Force before you even got started into fitness. So what first turned you on to fitness?
I would say, you know, I went to the Air Force Academy and I was serving in the Air Force, and I started working out for fun in the gym. And one thing that I didn't like when I was growing up is that I just felt like I really had a hard time balancing out feeling feminine because I was so athletic. Like I really, and then being in the military, I think I had to really put down my femininity so that I could survive and get the respect that I wanted to get as an officer in the Air Force. So I was always in male-dominating environments where I felt like I was always learning how to be more like the guys, to fit in and to be able to excel. And I remember feeling like, God, I love being an athlete. I love having this athletic body, but you know, around certain women, I just don't feel like I'm up to speed when it comes to being more like a lady. And what is being a woman, and how is that defined? And then when I saw fitness, I saw I went to a bodybuilding show and saw some girls doing fitness, and I saw, you know, the bodybuilding, women's bodybuilding, and I thought, oh my gosh, I've just been in the wrong place. Here are women just like me. And the funny thing is, I'm looking at these women thinking, these women are hot. They're sexy, they're gorgeous, and they're feminine. And I just kind of realized I needed a different sphere of influence to be around to kind of change the mode of thinking that I got accustomed to. So that's actually why I started competing. I started competing because I was sick of the insecurities I had for not, you know, it's funny, everyone has their own insecurities. Mine has never really been about fat loss because I've never had an issue with weight, but it's usually been about not being feminine enough, or worrying that my feminine traits don't come out, you know, as naturally. And so that definitely appealed to me, the whole idea of, okay, I'm going to be you know, feminine, beautiful, strut out, sexy, and heels, and then throw out a fitness routine that, like, most athletes would just, like, their jaws would drop. And I love that combination of strength and beauty.
I always say we all compete for our own very unique and individual reasons. It's just, it's so true. There's always a story behind why we're on stage. And given that, I mean, Tanji, seriously, you are really one of the top competitors. You have a big name, a big face, a big voice. Top five finishes at last year's Olympia. In your eyes, if you can summarize this incredible fitness career, what was the shining moment for you? There's got to be a moment that just sticks out in your head that this was
definitely it. It was definitely when I won the 2001 Nationals. And the reason why is because I was so green. I mean, I was doing Fitness America for a while, and then I moved to Washington. I got stationed in Washington, and I started doing all the shows in Washington, like the Ironman, the Washington State, the Emerald Cup, and, you know, I won most of the fitness and figure out in that area, and I was so humble that, you know, Brad and Elaine Craig, the promoters of the Emerald Cup, asked me if I was going to go to Nationals, and I thought, oh, no, I don't know if I'm ready, and they were like, what? You just won every local show around here. You need to take your butt to Nationals, and I'm like, okay, and then I went to the Olympia, and I ended up meeting Jen Hendershot and Mike Davies and their whole group because we were out together. And then, Mike recruited me, and I started working with Mike Davies just for 3 weeks to get ready for the Nationals. And I didn't understand any of the lingo he was telling me. You know, he was basically he had never seen my routine, but, you know, he said, this is what you need to dial in. Because, you know, prior to that, I'd just been more of a healthy eater. I didn't know anything about depletion, carbs, sodium, loading, looking dry, looking flat. I just kind of showed up in shape. And for the physique run, I got called out first, and then they compared about three or four of us, and then they told me to go back in line. And the whole time I'm thinking, oh, I guess they didn't like my look. And then they never called me back out, and afterwards Mike was so excited, and I looked at him, I was like, I don't understand, but they didn't call me back out, I don't know what I placed. He was like, that means you placed first in the physique round. And it was just, you know, it's so fun looking back, because I was just having fun. I didn't understand what was going on. I had no idea. I got first in the physique round. You know, I hit my routine pretty well. And, you know, the whole time in the evening, Mike kept saying, we got to get you ready because you're going to be in the mix. I'm like, well, what does that mean? He means you're going to be in the top five. I'm like, oh, really? But you told me that new people never make it in the top five. And he's like, yeah, they normally don't. So you better be ready. And I just remember the way it felt. Like, I knew that if you got top two, you turned pro. But I was just so honored and thrilled to be at a national level show. And I did the best I could, and, you know, they say fifth and fourth, and let me just tell you, when they say third and they did not say my name, and I realized that I was now an IFBB fitness pro, I don't think that above, I mean, I've won five pro titles in my career, but none of them beats the moment that not only did I win the medium class, but I ended up winning the overall. And if you ever saw the pictures of when I won, I mean, I totally look Asian because I'm smiling so hard that you can't even see my eyes. So I'm doing that huge cheese grin, and I think you can just tell how shocked I was. I mean, every time they called out my name, I'm looking around like, are you serious?
Believe it.
Me?
Yeah.
Like, really? Me? I remember Mike thinking, like, you better stop acting like that. Yes, they're talking about you. You just got your phone. I'm like, are you serious? I think I'll never forget that, because it was a mixture of complete surprise with complete humility and just complete just honor and thankfulness. And that's just a really good place to be, because once you've reached that, you know, now I think what we struggle with, and it's funny because I talk to Jen Hendershot on a regular basis now as I get ready for the Olympia. It's like, once you've tasted success, especially once you've had it over and over again, like maybe you won a few shows, you know, things change a little bit. You're not as appreciative. You're not as humble most of the time. You're more confident, or you're either struggling with confidence and then not being as confident, and it goes up and down. So you deal with a lot more stuff, and you've almost lost that innocence and that youth that most young people have. And I felt like when I won the national, I was like a child. I was like a young person winning a national show, didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah, it's very true. Those are pretty true statements there, and it's unfortunate because sometimes you can never recapture that, because I know that's
right.
I feel the same way when I think about how I got, you know what I mean, just that, wow, it really finally happened to me. And then everything after that, you're like, you always are chasing that. Like, what? I want that back.
That same feeling.
I want that feeling back, yeah.
And it's been hard, you know. I hate to tell people sometimes when they say, "Oh, you must be so excited! You're getting ready for the Olympia." And I'm, you know, deep down, I'm feeling like, well, it's my sixth one or it's my seventh one. So I hate to tell you, but the novelty's worn off a little bit. It doesn't mean I don't appreciate it, but you know, it gets old. And you're always having to kind of rediscover either why you're doing it or reestablishing new motivations. Yep. And sometimes I feel like, you know, each year a person can dedicate their contest prep to something different. It could be dedicated to a person. It could be dedicated to a transformation, a process. You know, in the beginning it's easy because it's either going to be a transformation. Like in figure, you get a lot of girls that, you know, never had muscle or they were never lean, and it's all about celebrating that transformation. But once you transform and you're walking around with a hard body for the next 10 years, what's your new motivation?
Right, I know. You're like, I know, it's true. Yep, there's definitely a transient dynamic to this crazy sport that we love.
So true. I almost envy those people that are brand new.
I do too.
Because, you know what I mean? You totally know what I mean. You're just like, wow, I wish I could be in that place because I'd probably be winning everything because, you'd just be so hyped about everything.
They're so hungry. Like that,
yes.
That hunger that you kind of lose. It's still there, but it's not that same ravishing hunger, you know, that they have when
right.
They're just starting out.
And I think that's a hard thing to admit. Like you feel like as a professional, you feel like because you wear the title of professional, you are expected to maintain that level of hunger. And so one day you wake up and you realize that you're not that hungry,
mm-hmm.
at least not for this season or not for this particular show, and you don't even know what to do with yourself because we all know how hard it is to do well when you're not hungry.
I know. Yep. Very
okay,
true.
Candy, I have to ask you about your schedule because you are one of the busiest people I know. Now, you promote a show earlier in the year, the
yes.
NPC Vancouver Natural Bodybuilding and Tandy Johnson Fitness and Figure Classic. You make
right.
guest appearances where you display your amazing fitness skills, and you also do appearances for Gasparri Nutrition. You train and coach clients, and now you're prepping for the ACM the Fitness Olympia. So how do you manage to balance that whole schedule?
Well, what I'm doing right now to balance it is nothing. I'm not working.
There you go.
No, I'm kidding. I'm working a lot less. I mean, I just saw you in San Diego, and that was like my first appearance in maybe 6 weeks. You know, I did a couple guest posings a few months ago, but actually, I made a result. It is very hard to do, and that kind of a schedule has affected my contest prep. So for the ACE and for the Olympics this year, I just made a decision financially and just work-wise. I just decided that pretty much 80% of my workload was just going to be pushed to the side. And for once, I'm going to be a professional cardio queen and a professional weight loser. That's what I feel like. I feel like my job is a professional cardio queen. I mean, that's what I do now. It's like I get up and I do my first cardio, and then I go back and ice my knees, and then 4 hours later, I'm back in the gym working routine and cardio, and then you go back and rest, and then you do it again, and all this, of course, while you're eating in between, and then just really trying to get that 9 hours of sleep. And I feel like that's my priority, and my whole day revolves around that. And so right now, the way I'm dealing with it is by prioritizing the contest prep. And this is something that I used to do 10 years ago, but as I got busy and more successful in my career, I kind of forgot how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tanji,
so that's been a valuable lesson for me to learn.
Well, you definitely deserve
that. I can actually choose to have to manage all of it, or I can just manage all of it in season.
And
right now, this is a season for me to focus on winning the Olympia, not on working really hard in my business.
I think that's great. Look at you. This is you have one life. You can only do this life one time. People forget that. You got one time around. And
right.
you're blessed right now that you can do this. You can live your dream. You can do what you want to do every day and put all your efforts towards the Olympia. And I don't know. I'm excited, Tanji, to see you back on that
Thank
stage.
You.
I mean, Chrissy,
Thank
right?
You.
Is Tanji going to do some damage or what?
Oh, and I've heard a little about her exciting routine, so I'm real excited to see her.
Yeah. Well, Tanji, you've given us more time than we even thought we'd have with you, so I'm so happy about that. I'm like texting Chrissy, thank God we got her for, like, your client.
Like, we have to keep on her schedule.
I know,
keep her too long.
We'll keep sucking her in, Chrissy. No, but Tanji, thank you so much. I mean, you know, listen, you're always an exciting competitor. I can't wait to see you on stage at the Olympia. Best of luck there. It's anybody's game there without Hendershot in the mix.
True,
so who knows, you know? Who knows? Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
We really appreciate it, Tangie.
Thank you, Tan.
Well, Chrissy, I'd like to thank our guests. We had Dominique Danger, a.k.a. Sister Steele, and Tangie Jansen on the show. And I think, what do you think, Chrissy? Another good show.
Yeah, two great, amazing guests.
They just keep getting better, Chrissy. They keep getting better. But remember, Muscle Girls, Inc., it's not just a radio show.
It is who we are.
Muscle Girls, Inc. is an RxMuscle.com presentation. Listen to Colette Nelson and Chrissy Chin every week at the same time. Be sure to download this and all of our radio shows at our website, RxMuscle.com. This has been Muscle Girls, Inc.